Yeah, the Doritos after the break last week, I may have cost us a couple listeners.
I would like to...
Those people that have phobias, you know, of people crunching.
I would like to sincerely apologize.
There's a growing trend of ASMR crowd that would pay to hear that, though.
You're right. The the high-quality recording peoples.
Yeah. We lose some, we gain some.
Yeah, we could probably farm those out, huh?
Mostly it's
we're going to get our two listeners back.
Mostly it's 12-year-old kids, though.
Yeah, I don't think we're really geared to 12-year-olds.
No, absolutely not. So we're back from the break, and we've still got a lot of stuff to talk about here.
I feel like we're
on the Man Cave Caucus podcast. Welcome back, everybody.
I feel like we're charging hell with a water pistol, as a old preacher used to say.
Well, again, we could probably do a daily podcast and still not have enough time to cover everything, but
we're going to give it a whirl.
We picked a fine time to start a podcast. I'll tell you that. Picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Picked a fine time to listen.
So, hey, Elon Musk.
Blank.
Not only came out immediately after the assassination attempt and endorsed Donald Trump wholeheartedly, but he also then, several days later, announced that he plans to support Donald Trump's campaign by contributing $45 million a month to a new super PAC aimed at electing President Donald Trump.
That's almost as high as my electric bill.
Yeah. $45 million a month.
You think $45 million a month will do the job?
I think that goes a long way.
I think I could get elected for $45 million a month.
I wish Elon would throw just a little percentage of that my way. To the Baker campaign, like
.0000.
I would be happy with $1 million 1%. One time. Not even monthly.
That's wild stuff.
You could for $1 million.
I could run for some other office, like statewide or something.
You could put
you guys
name in the mailbox of every person in the state.
Do you guys get called?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You get called by the Springfield police folks raising money, or is that just me?
That's a scam. Don't give them any money.
Oh, I've never given them any money.
I get called by everybody under the sun asking for money.
I'll buy lunch for an officer or something, but I'm not given to the Springfield.
Pretty
anyways,
sure that's a scam.
You should record. It's automated. You should record your conversations, and we'll put them on the podcast.
It's pretty regular that they call me about once every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and but I gave to a organization. I was
in a moment of weakness.
No, I was pretty much, and I say, is it absconded when somebody just kind of
disappears?
No, just okay.
Absconding?
No. I got the wrong word. So they just descended on me in the Tractor Supply parking lot, an organization called Heifer International.
What?
And
I think I dated a gal from that group at one point.
You may have. They get you hooked in. You're going to feed a whole country with a $35 donation.
Wow.
They get you, sign the dotted
like
line.
People or cattle?
People. So you would think cattle maybe. But so they have you donate and they get you down to the very end. You sign off, your card runs, and then as you're leaving, they're like, oh yeah, this is a indefinite commitment.
What?
So you can pick, you can
no
give.
No going back?
No. You can pick chickens.
It's like Elon Musk commitment.
So you can pick to send a family like 20 chickens, and it made me think of Elon Musk's donation here.
$45 million a month.
You can pick to give $17. You're giving these people chickens for, you know, indefinite chickens. They're going to just keep reproducing. So it's $47 for a goat. It's so much for a pig, and then the ultimate one.
Here?
I don't even know. But they told me that
that's a problem.
I like and my wife knows this about me, but like, I would rather just give someone my wallet than have a conversation, an awkward conversation. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like somebody today, we were at Scooter's Coffee and a ways away, and the lady was like, would you like to leave a tip? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, how much? I was like, $5. And my wife's like, that was a whole nother coffee. I was like,
you got put on the spot.
But if I get put on the spot, I'm just like, here, just take it. Let's end this.
You're the type they're looking for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so Heifer International found me. I get a call once a week from them. And it's, I think I looked it up and I think it's like a tiny percentage actually goes to helping people.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you.
But anyway, I had to cancel. I finally just called and canceled my debit card. Got a new one. I'm not real good with that kind of stuff. Rocket Mortgage or Rocket app probably could have helped. But anyways, we carry on. Elon signed up for the monthly donation, yeah. Which is it. At least he knew what he was getting into. I did not when I joined Heifer.
So there's several big things in the news this week. Breaking news with Elon Musk. The other is that he announced that due to Governor Gavin Newsom signing a bill in the legislature in California that bans schools from making rules requiring parental notification if a child identifies as transgender, among other laws that's a part of that. And he literally said that was his biggest reason that he is now moving SpaceX headquarters from California to Starbase near Brownsville, Texas. So now both companies are going to be headquartered in
Pretty
Texas.
Much all of California's exes
I
live
think
in Texas.
Elon is fully red-pilled.
Yeah. Welcome.
California. I stole that off of somebody mm-hmm. on Facebook, but...
So, but I mean, again, like, that's how we win, is we move our dollars out of the states that are doing those kind of insane yeah. things. I mean, you've got those guys. What's that guy's name? I think his name is Weiner, actually.
Anthony Weiner?
No. He's a legislator in California that's the sponsor of yeah. most of those bills trying to, I believe.
Scott Weiner?
Scott Weiner. Enable people to groom kids and to transition kids and
probably
all of that.
Change my name to Schnitzel or something. If
yeah, yeah, I mean.
But I... Yeah. We work with a guy who is also ironically named Anthony Weiner. Mm.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah.
It's time to move on from that name in America.
Right.
Look at this picture of Scott.
Yeah. That'll make you not want to eat for a while.
If you named your kid Ben, I wonder if everybody would call him Beanie Weenie.
I don't know.
I call my son Beanie sometimes.
So the other piece of news regarding Elon Musk is, unfortunately, he said he has been targeted in two assassination attempts
Musk?
In the last 8 months. I was not aware of this.
No.
But apparently he has. And I think that's a big reason, too, that figured into what he... his decisions on moving to Texas and endorsing Trump and all of that as well. Because I think he's realizing how insane the left really is. And he's weighing into that.
I mean, it goes back to that tweet that he did where it showed the left moving on. You know, he stayed centered mm-hmm. and the left got further left and the right came a little closer.
And, yeah, it's very true.
It was probably a year ago when we first started the podcast. And it's just inevitable if the left goes for the left and the, you know.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On that topic, I'm sure you guys have seen the Republican platform got gutted, right? There's no mention of any firearm, anything. There's no mention of protecting the rights of the unborn.
At the RNC this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get to cover that. There is a lot of things we do need to discuss about the Republican Party platform. I do have a few concerns,
Will we right that ship? Just quick in and out.
I think it's going to be tough too, Joel, if you just want my honest opinion right now. I think there's a lot of good things that are happening with the direction of the party, but I do have some concerns. Yeah. I really do, because it's... Again, and we've discussed this some, the populism that is becoming a part of the party.
Yeah,
I think it's dangerous.
I think that's just part of the part of red pilling. You're bringing in centrists or
it's
not far left, you know, but just leftists. You're bringing in
Amber Rose.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that
into the party.
Such a rock and a hard place. I mean, you've got to have the voters to win an election.
Yeah,
but you also it, you have to water, on what
if you're
makes
watering
us who
down
are.
Your platform. I mean, and we don't want a fourth party.
No. So let's talk a little bit about the RNC this week, because I think some of this figures into that. So first of all, though, once again, I get to tell you, I told you so. So who was selected to be Trump's VP?
Old Vance,
JD Vance.
Joel messaged. I was very impressed. 3 hours before I got the notification from Daily Wire, Joel told me Vance was the guy. Mm-hmm. I was impressed. And three weeks before that, Ben told me.
So I've gotten a lot of people in the past week asking me about JD and what we know about him. Why would Trump pick JD Vance? Also, I will say shout out to Charlie Kirk, who also predicted this pick as well. So it wasn't just me. Charlie Kirk did. But let's look at a clip. We're going to look at several clips from the RNC convention, which was in Milwaukee this week. This one is of JD Vance speaking. And I think we're going to learn a lot very quickly about JD Vance. You know, he's only been in Congress for not even a full 2 years now. But his... You know, I've been following him since that race, since he won that, actually before he won that, and have really liked what I have seen out of J.D. Vance.
A headline said it all to me this week. It said it was a headline from before he was even considered, and it said J.D. Vance, the most hated man on the right in Congress.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it.
He's got to be good all people, right?
I get it. Rudy.
So here's what he said at the RNC, and I like this.
You know, one of the things that you hear people say sometimes is that America is an idea. And to be clear, America was indeed founded on brilliant ideas like the rule of law and religious liberty, things written into the fabric of our Constitution and our nation. But America is not just an idea. It is a group of people with a shared history and a common future. It is, in short, a nation. Now, it is part of that tradition, of course, that we welcome newcomers. But when we allow newcomers into our American family, we allow them on our terms.
Amen to that.
That's the way we preserve the continuity of this project from 250 years past to hopefully 250 years in the future.
What'd you think about that?
I love J.D. Vance. I was fortunate enough to work some overnight security details this week, so I got to do a deep dive into J.D. Vance.
Uh-huh.
I'm a fan. He's so brilliant.
He's
very on economic policy.
Yes, he's very smart, but he also has that common sense element that is so needed in politics. He also has the real world experience of coming from nothing to where he is now and working hard to get there. That's another missing element in politics today.
Assuming you guys have seen the movie.
Hillbilly Elegy. Great.
I have not.
Yeah, great.
It's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Feeling left out.
Yeah, his story.
He wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy. They made into a movie, and it's on Netflix. It's awesome.
Nice.
So I think it's great that for a lot of reasons, but here's some other stuff that I think is worthy of listening to here.
I wrote Hillbilly Elegy because I wanted to give people a sense of what it was like to live in a community like mine. I didn't think a whole lot of stories were told about white working class Americans. I didn't think a lot of stories were told about people who were struggling with some of the problems we were struggling with, joblessness, drug addiction, and so forth. And I thought that I could tell a story that would make people understand my family a little bit better, and maybe in the process, understand the struggles of a lot of families in Middletown and the state of Ohio more broadly.
JD carries where he came from everywhere with him. And he talked all the time about how much he loved Middletown and Ohio and his family. And he would tell me all of these stories about why it was the greatest place in the world. In his mind, this is the center of the universe. And that's one of the reasons that he was so, so enthusiastic about bringing his whole family back here.
That's his wife speaking.
I am from Ohio. I grew up in this state. I left to join the Marine Corps. And I came back to build a business and to raise a family because we wanted to raise our family in a place that's beautiful, that has great people, and that has great values. And this is my home. I love this place and I care about it.
These are his people. This is where he's from. These are the people who carried him through difficult times in life. And he really believes, and I believe, that if he can get himself into a position to make a difference for them, he will.
I'm running for U.S. Senate because the people that I grew up around, the people across the state of Ohio who are trying to achieve the American dream, they actually need somebody to fight for them. Right now in Ohio, people who are working hard, they're playing by the rules, they're trying to get ahead, they're trying to make a better life for their children. The leaders of this country think they're stupid, they think they're bigoted, they judge their viewpoints, they're shipping their jobs overseas. No one is fighting for working and middle-class Ohioans who are just trying to build a good life for themselves. I want to be the person who's fighting for them. We are a good country with good people, and when we support each other, we actually can accomplish great things.
Pretty good stuff. That was in his Senate campaign.
I was wondering if elegy was like a eulogy for the living, but it's the same as a eulogy.
Here's another montage of some of J.D. Vance's like most viral moments throughout his campaign and other things that he has said publicly. I think this is good to kind of a little bit of an insight of who he really is. This beginning part of this is a debate that he had with the candidate that ran against him for Senate in Ohio. And they're talking about abortion.
The thing the media and Congressman Ryan, they talk about this all the time. The thing they never mentioned is that poor girl was raped by an illegal alien, somebody that should have never been in this state in the first place. When the media and people like Tim Ryan accuse me of engaging in the great replacement theory, what happens, Tim. What happens is that my own children, my biracial children, get attacked by scumbags online and in person because you are so desperate for political power that you'll accuse me, the father of three beautiful biracial babies, of engaging in racism. We are sick of it. You can believe in a border without being a racist. You can believe in the country without being a racist. And this just shows how desperate this guy is for political power.
I think it takes a special amount of gall to be from Joe Biden's political party and to complain about the fentanyl crisis that is ravaging
not just Ohio, but the entire country,
because it is Joe Biden's border policies that have invited this fentanyl into our country. It explains the word white, the word wife, is an example of the type of language that comes across as very genuine.
That's something you think is necessary or something you support.
This is great.
I'd have to give that one some more thought.
I would hope that the word wife is not something that is something that we can all agree is a reasonable vocabulary word that most Americans use in their daily life. It's not something that we need to eliminate. And I'm very confident that the majority of Ohioans, if there is a pilot who is offended by the word wife or the word cockpit, maybe that person shouldn't be a pilot. So rather than kowtowing to people who are fragile, maybe we should actually say, if you're so worried about the words that we are using, you shouldn't be flying multi-ton metal engines through the sky. And I just ask all of us to maybe try to focus as much on real problems, like the fact that our aviation system seems to not be working as well as it used to,
than the fact that we may use uninclusive or underinclusive language.
Are you interested He's in being the running mate of a convicted felon?
Well, Wolf, the entire purpose of this trial was to allow the media about all the Democrats stuff. To say exactly that. This is never about justice. This is about plastering convicted felon all over the airwaves, when in reality, the only thing that Donald Trump is guilty of is being in the courtroom of a political sham trial. You cannot say that this trial was anything more than politics masquerading as justice. And yes, I will help Donald Trump. I will help Donald Trump however I think that I can, Wolf, because if we allow this to happen, it's so much bigger and so much more troubling than Donald Trump. If we allow the standard that you can throw your political opponents in jail because they're doing better than you in an election, it will be the end of this country as we know it.
On November 10th, 2021, the FAA held an inclusive language summit. Are you familiar with this effort?
I am familiar with it.
During the summit, which had a solicitation published in the Federal Register, Deputy Administrator Mims stated that when we use terms like airmen or unmanned aircraft, sorry, I'm laughing because this has to be a joke, we're sending a message that only men belong in the aerospace community. Do you agree with that statement?
Well, Senator, what I could say is that having been a pilot for 42 years and seeing the evolution of our aerospace industry, I started out in helicopters and have flown as a captain in big jetliners.
Sure.
Not everyone is a pilot today. We have drones. We have spaceships, spacecraft, I'm sorry. And so I do believe going to notices to air missions is absolutely the right thing to do. It is an accurate reflection of where our aerospace system is today. Fully supportive of that. And none of that, by the way, detracts from our mission, which is the safety of our aerospace, and that will always be our North Star.
I think the point is, if it makes sense for some aviation reason, that's fine. If it makes sense purely to avoid gendered language, it seems like an unnecessary preoccupation with the words that you're using and that we're using rather than the work that we're doing.
Why criticize Pete Buttigieg on this?
The Secretary of Transportation has been the recipient of hundreds of billions of dollars of infrastructure funding, and yet it looks in a lot of ways like our infrastructure is degrading or certainly not getting better. The second thing is, yesterday, Pete Buttigieg had the opportunity to address this problem. He instead talked about the excessive amount of, this is not a joke, too many white men in the construction industry. That is not a serious concern for this country right now. What's going on in East Palestine is the Secretary
Guilty.
Of Transportation needs to focus on real problems, not fake problems.
It,
and until he
too.
Does, people are going to wonder whether he's doing his job.
So that was a just kind of a montage of some J.D. Vance discussions and good stuff. I like what Tucker Carlson said about J.D. Vance, and he kind of brought up the same thing that you mentioned. The fact that all the wrong people hate J.D. Yeah. Vance, you know, basically.
That's enough for me.
Now, J.D. Vance is the VP pick, and I think every person who pays close attention has got to be thrilled by that. And if you don't know much about J.D. Vance, I'm not even going to make a case for J.D. Vance. I'm going to tell you what I just saw, which is that every bad person I've ever met in a lifetime in Washington was aligned against J.D. Vance. Mm-hmm. And I do think the negative case is often more powerful, because I know of myself, I do not think I'm a particularly good person. I have strong reasons for feeling that way. I don't always think that my side is right. I know for a fact I have been wrong many, many times.
So anyway, he just mentioned that. And I think, again, that's a good indication that he's on the right track. Trump gave us a little bit of insight as well as to, you know, part of the reason why it makes logical sense electorally that he picked JD as well. Currently, the tightest races are in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. So, you know, they're saying that the Rust Belt states will decide the 2024 election. Vance is from Ohio. Trump told us in his announcement that Vance's job during the campaign will be to focus on winning over, you know, the hardworking middle class people in those states. And Vance is that guy. I mean, he's a Midwest Rust Belt guy. He can appeal to those voters, not just because he exudes that in his own character and his, you know, from his own upbringing, but he understands it philosophically as well and why that is important. And being able to relate to the middle class guy.
Just proximity wise, you know, Pittsburgh is very close to his district.
Yeah. So, you know, he understands it. I think he can very well communicate those ideas and the reason why the Trump-Vance ticket is the ticket for the middle class, is the ticket for the hardworking people in the United States of America. And I think he can communicate that well. I like, here's a video I found. So apparently Kamala Harris called J.D. Vance to congratulate him. Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
But he didn't take her call. So here's some...
Is this a B article?
Not so actual footage of Kamala calling J.D. Vance.
This lady does a great job.
She does a great job.
Spot on.
Senator Vance. Yeah, no, this is Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm wearing a black suit, and I just want to... Hello? Hello? Huh. Oh, no, I think we got disconnected.
Spot on.
The laugh is perfect.
Yeah, I was thinking we can practice before the debate. Hello?
Shane Gillis's Trump impression.
What's your name? Jean-Claude Van Damme Pierre. We need another line. Do we have another number for him? He seems burdened by what has been. Yeah, we keep getting disconnected, Senator Vance.
Could be.
It's like you fell out of a coconut tree. Hello? I lost him again. Hello? You don't have to use them. You just give them to your wife. Senator Vance.
Oh, man. Pretty good stuff.
Good impression.
Talk about a battle of wits.
Oh, the debate between those two? I can't wait. We need to do that live.
He'll dunk on it.
We need to have a live session.
I'll be there for that.
Just on that. So the RNC was this week, and you know, many are saying that it was the debut of a more lively, energetic, and hip Republican Party than maybe ever before. And we'll get to some of the speakers from the RNC in Milwaukee here in a minute. But Trump walks in. I mean, I think a remarkably strong looking security detail. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Than just a few days earlier. No women.
UNDEI.
Taller men. More numbers.
It was the hit squad.
In his detail at the RNC. Just look at this. Look at the difference between what you see here and what we saw at the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. And you tell me, what do you think?
I mean, notable difference. Yeah, I bet every one of them could holster their gun on the first try.
Right? And three times as many as well?
Yes. So I feel like the A-team should probably be protecting Biden and Trump from the same people.
Yeah.
Like they need to have the A-team on both of them, because I feel like the same people probably are starting to turn on Biden as quickly as we already knew that Trump was in the crosshairs.
Well, I mean,
so
today
to
they're saying Hillary could be in the mix.
Yeah, it's just wild.
How bad has it gotten over there that they're like,
it's unbelievable.
Maybe Hillary could pull it off.
And we've all seen it coming, and it's here.
Did you see his entrance song?
Any day he'll be replaced.
To the RNC, Trump's entrance song.
Was it 50 Cent?
No. It's a man's world. So perfect. Man made the train. He's got the ear bandage on. But his face, man, you can tell.
He just looks different.
Yep. He's more humble. I think it changed him. How could it not?
A quarter of an inch. Conservative women didn't leave in droves?
No.
Wow.
No, they were cheering. Huh. Now look, Bobert's right there, just wow, cheering on. And then Pavarotti. So good.
Bobert reached into her bag and got a loaf of bread. Some deli meats. Went straight to work whipping up a sandwich.
Yeah.
I just want to take this a moment to remind everyone it's not a sin to be a white man in America.
No.
No matter what the left says.
It just feels that way.
And I don't think there's all that many people who believe that garbage anyway. There's Greg Abbott.
Rubio. DiDiMarco.
Yeah. Whoever put together the music scores for the RNC did know what was going on. There's Youngkin, Governor Youngkin. Dude, look at that place, man. I had a lot of friends there. I'll probably see Bobert next week, actually. So, if that doesn't exude leadership and grit, you know, of how the leader of the free world should carry themselves, nothing does. But I think it's true, Tim. He seems more humble to me. Some of the facial expressions seem, you know, maybe new. Like I hadn't seen before, that side of Trump or those expressions before.
He carries himself like a different man.
Yeah, I mean, probably more like the side of a man who has had a narrow escape from death, and it has changed him.
I feel like if you don't take a hard look at everything and be like, this, you know, I am here for such a time as this. You know, I was spared for a reason. You know,
as you already know, the assassin's bullet came within a quarter of an inch of taking my life.
This is just the first part of his
speech. So many people have asked me, what happened? Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened. And you'll never hear it from me a second time because it's actually too painful to tell. Mm. It was a warm, beautiful day in the early evening in Butler Township in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
He goes on talking about that, but one of the things he said, I had God on my side. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Just several things that he mentions in his speech, I think does point to that experience changed him in a lot of ways.
He just seems less, and it's his arrogance has never bothered me, but he just seems less.
Well,
arrogant.
I think a lot of times it's he's a successful businessman that has used his talent and his ability and his showmanship to be very successful. And I think he carried that over into the office of president and to the candidate, Donald Trump. And
I didn't have a problem with it. But I just have never seen this side of him.
It's interesting to see this play out. There was other notable speeches. Amber Rose was one. I had never really heard of Amber Rose until this, so I had to type it in and I put it into Grok. So I just typed in, who is Amber Rose, into Grok, and here's what it spit out. Amber Rose, born October 21st, 1983, so she's a couple years younger than me, In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a multifaceted American personality known for her work as a model, rapper, and television personality, she gained attention after starring in the music video for Young Jeezy's 2008 single, Put On, which featured Kanye West. This led to a romantic relationship with West. I didn't realize that. She subsequently modeled for the Louis Vuitton brand and signed a modeling contract with Ford Models. Rose's career has seen her walk the runway at New York Fashion Week, made cameos in various music videos, Nicki Minaj, Wiz Khalifa, Ludacris, also hosted her own talk show, The Amber Rose Show, for VH1, competed in the 23rd season of Dancing with the Stars, finishing in ninth place. Also the founder of Amber Rose Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to women's empowerment and equality. So now you're getting to hear some things here that I think are interesting. A mother to a son named Sebastian Taylor Thomas, with a Z, born in 2013 with musician Wiz Khalifa, shares the custody of her son with her ex-husband Khalifa. Beyond her professional accomplishments, Amber Rose has been outspoken about several social issues, including sexual violence, victim blaming, derogatory labels, gender inequality, has used her platform to advocate for these causes, aims to challenge rape culture and victim blaming. I believe she's actually also pro-abortion as well, but yet she is supporting Donald Trump. And the RNC had her come to speak. So she was one of the speakers.
Hulk's back in the news.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to see this.
Yes, brother. So also, Nikki Haley showed up to the RNC. Did you hear about this? And then, you know, promptly lies as to why she's there, actually. And I think this is just hilarious because she actually does it in her speech. And then Trump calls her out on it. So basically, she says in her speech that she was invited by Donald Trump to come and to speak, that he wanted her to speak. But when she says that on the video, you can see Trump turns to J.D. Vance and he says she actually wanted to speak. And he goes, here we go. She wanted. So watch this.
President Trump asked me to speak to this convention in the name of unity.
So he turns over to JD and says that she actually wanted to speak.
President. Couldn't resist.
Yeah. But yeah, Hulk Hogan, man. Rousing speech,
brother,
at the RNC, brought the house down with his speech. And I mean, wow. So here's the Hulk.
Hulkamaniac.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Did you hear him breathe in the microphone?
I saw a hilarious meme.
Oh, Randy Savage would have been so proud.
Oh, he had a leg drop right on somebody.
With it.
Yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man, yeah.
I saw a hilarious meme this week that said, imagine you're from another country watching the state of politics in America, and it starts with this.
Hulk Hogan ripping his T-shirt. Oh, but as a result of this, the RNC viewership peaked at 28.4 million during Trump's speech. I think it marks the highest viewership for the RNC maybe ever.
Has the DNC done their thing this year?
2 weeks away.
That's going to be something else.
I'll be interested in seeing the numbers on that.
It's in Chicago, and I think they're going to burn it down.
We should do that live, too.
Forget a poll.
Right.
Let's see what the viewership numbers.
We should go up. Where's it going to be at? Do you know?
Somewhere in Chicago.
Chicago?
No. They're already expecting the pro-Palestinian protesters to burn it to the ground.
Mm-hmm. That's where we could get some really good street interviews.
That would be great.
The DNC.
I don't like going anywhere I can't bring my gun.
Chicago's a dangerous place. So Fox News led with a record-breaking 10.9 million viewers from 10:30 to 11 that night. So
that's
big deal.
That's 28
also,
million more than CNN had.
Yeah. Also worth noting, a Florida man was arrested for a possible assassination attempt or threat on President Trump and J.D. Vance. Did you hear that?
No.
Less than a week after Thomas Crook's attempt. I haven't heard a whole lot of details on that, but it did happen. It was reported. Next up, Biden has COVID again. It's kind of like Groundhog Day.
I think I might have gotten COVID this week.
Oh, yeah?
Haven't been able to taste or smell anything.
Uh-oh.
And,
That's a sure sign.
I'm calling it a cold.
Yeah, I had a cold for about 3 days last week.
Yeah.
I think you probably got my cold.
It was probably just your cold.
The whole family's went through it this week.
Okay.
So here's...
Thanks, Ben.
Il Donaldo Trumpo. Once again.
Do you think this week we'll hear that Biden's more or less succession speech?
I think it's very possible. It could be at the convention.
They may wait till convention.
Okay, so I've been hearing that for a week, and then I heard today that he doubled down and said, hey, we're excited to get back on the trail.
He can do whatever he wants, but he's like,
I'm
telling
you. Was it him himself, or was it his handlers that said that?
I have no idea.
I haven't heard him say it personally. I don't know. I've heard so many different things, but
he's out. I will firmly.
They were protesting in front of the White House today.
You could
calling on him to.
You could definitely
hand it off.
Buy some puts on Biden, on Biden's political career.
Here's the video. Watch this. It's a video of Trump speaking about getting COVID. Biden getting COVID, and he's got the COVID virus all on his head.
If you're vaccinated and boosted, you are highly protected. So there's no excuse for anyone being unvaccinated. This continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If you're vaccinated.
Continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Or the triple boosted, triple vaccinated. Yeah. So will they use this to usher him out, you think? I mean, he's been firmly holding on to the reins, it appears.
I'm not wishing for this, but it would be wildly ironic if COVID, and I have to air quote, but if COVID took him out. Like, it would be just...
Yeah. I mean...
I'm not at all wishing that.
I mean, a couple of things. COVID's not taking anyone out anymore.
First of all, I want him to run. I want him to see this through.
Same. Yeah. It's only fair.
And I think that they know that we want him to run, and I don't think there's a snowball's
chance.
They know that we know. Kamala could definitely say it better than I can. She just formulates thoughts a lot more efficiently.
So we can't end the show without playing just a few of Biden gaffes of the week. So here we go. This one is probably my favorite one from this week anyway, which there's so many. But
I think we've got to enjoy these while they last, because I don't think his party's going to let it go on much longer.
Here it is. He can't remember the Secretary of Defense's name, so he does this.
And so it's all about It's all about treating people with dignity. And it's about making sure that, look, I mean, for example, look at the heat I'm getting because I named Secretary of Defense, the black man. I named Ketanji Brown. I mean,
the black man.
This is.
That's what he referred to.
I hate to say it, but this is like me and Joel trying to think of a name every week, at least once a week. Yeah. We struggle as mightily.
Yeah.
But I sprayed thousands of gallons of lacquer without a mask.
You know, the white woman.
Over yeah.
It's coming back.
The one. You know.
The thing.
You know the thing.
This is my favorite video of the week.
This is probably... so... this one is Joe almost kissing another woman.
I thought that was...
thinking that it was Jill Biden.
I thought that was Marjorie Taylor for a second from a distance.
Not
I was like,
MTG.
What?
She
until she saves him and like redirects him.
Said, Joe, I'm not Jill.
The caption on the video that I saw said, Jill is 100% sure that Joe is 100% sure that this is Jill.
So
he may have just wanted a smooch.
Watch this one.
She came running in from the way on the back.
She saw it coming, man.
He went
back
and
after.
And he went back to her.
It's just...
that would have been epic.
Right?
Thank God for Dr. Jill, though.
Yeah, she saved him.
Peace just, the world
so
right now.
Just in the nick of time.
You didn't kiss another lady on live television.
Oh, man.
I've been using that a lot, Joel.
I said I counted whenever I re-listened to the show last week.
You said it at three?
I said it four times.
Four.
Was it four times?
Yeah, afterwards
I
was like...
Well, I said it 40 throughout the week.
Probably should have called it quits at two, max.
Every time somebody did good this week, I let them know.
Did you?
You did. I told my wife that at least five times. I will say that I'm very grateful for... I've got a woman who is as supportive as old Jill. She took a roughly 27-hour road trip to get me back for the podcast with me. You know, pulled some driving. Let me get a little
there. You go
nappy poo.
Yeah,
and it's good to have a woman that is supporting you
and through the thick and the thin.
Yeah, sometimes I can just hear now that Joel's put it into verbiage like that. I just hear, she'll look at me and I hear, you did so good, Tim.
It drove all the miles.
She drove some of them too. And I that kind of support is.
Well, I'm hoping I get the same treatment because I'm going to have to edit the podcast on the road.
Oh yeah.
Tomorrow.
Hey, listen.
Hey, so,
there's that.
You got you a good one too.
If you do happen to bump into Lauren Boebert,
yeah,
don't tell her what I said about the sandwich.
Okay.
While you're editing,
don't worry, Joel.
While you're editing, don't
give
the man
best.
Cave caucus a plug.
I'll give her your best, Joel.
Yeah, please, do tell her like my name and about me, and
but not about the podcast.
Just let her know that I deserve a chance to explain what I said.
Yeah, I think she would understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that she would.
Watch a movie together or something.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
And last but not least, on July 15th, 2024, at the MLB Home Run Derby in Arlington, Texas. God,
what is the deal?
There was a country singer, Ingrid Andress, who I've never heard of, performed a rendition of the national anthem that left many viewers, I would say at the very least, unimpressed. But then later she admitted on social media that she was intoxicated during the performance. So let's listen in and see what you think about this.
It did sound a lot like karaoke. Bad night.
A real bad night.
I get it. a little bit.
With broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
It was the second line where we started realizing.
But we watch, we're so gallantly streaming. And the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Oh no.
You can't like, walk
shoot
away.
Shoot more, guys. Shoot more of those.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star.
She looks a little.
This is like me trying to sing a Celine Dion song at karaoke. My heart will go on or something. Just double down on that bad bit right there.
You know, have you ever listened and have you ever listened to Bob Dylan's recent stuff? Have you ever heard To Make You Feel My Love by Bob Dylan? He wrote the song that
Garth Brooks
made popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had one. I would challenge anyone to take those for a spin, but To Make You Feel My Love and Forever Young.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the most horrendous vocal performances. Beautiful songs.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully written. And just hearing things like this, it just makes me realize that I should not lose my dream of being a performing artist. Yeah. Listening to old Bob.
There's still hope, Tim.
Just belch out those lyrics. And
well, Bob never was
this lady. The
greatest of vocalists.
But he did it. But sometimes did it. It's like Tim, it'll go down in history. Tim had no business doing any commentary on a podcast, but he just
did.
It was a full send. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, don't give up on your dreams mm-hmm. just because you stink at it.
Right.
I'm not.
Right. Here we are.
And with that, I'll pass it right back to you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you. So with that, don't forget, go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, subscribe on those channels as well. You can now go to our YouTube channel, which is at Man Cave Caucus, and smash that subscribe button. If we get 100 subscribers by the 50th episode, Tim will do a street interview at the most liberal place we can find around this area, which is hard to find. And he'll wear his MAGA hat or something. And
I did order a MAGA hat this week. I didn't tell anybody. Didn't even tell my
Perfect.
Wife.
Perfect. We knew it. I've got one.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So that's what we'll do. If we can get 100 subscribers... we'll do a street interview, and it'll
like,
be great.
I feel like we should at least aim for like 101. set that bar.
I mean, we already have like
37.
Okay, so we've only got 'kay. Yeah.
So
69.
Yeah.
No, 61 to go.
I feel kind of safe. I think it's 63.
Yeah, none of us can do math.
53,
apparently. Yeah. So there's that. And then don't forget that we are coming up on our 50th episode, and it's going to be epic.
We will not drop the ball.
Not yet.
On the extravagance.
It's going to be great. With that, everybody, have a good week.
God bless.
God bless.